think you're safe.
Mics are on. Let's call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting at 8:45.
Mr. Dipbrenner is here.
Site the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Opens Meeting Act is posted on the east wall behind the media. Consent agenda. Attendance by observation. Jurgens, Hill, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, Thiemann, Bauman will be gone today. Consent agenda. General agenda. Approved minutes of meeting held January 21st, 2015. Approve all claims through February 4th, 2015 in the amount of $499,452.74. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approved reappointing Lisa Wiegand, Terry Acton, and David Zimmerman for another term on the Planning and Zoning Board. Approved permit number 10-1011, Windstream, Nebraska, Incorporated, to replace 980 feet of bad cable in the southeast fourth, southwest fourth of Section 7, T-3NR-6E, Riverside Township. Approve authorizing payments that include but not limited to salary and reimbursable expenses to any employee by electronic funds transfer or a similar means of direct deposit. Approve district court summary fee report for the month of January 2015. And approve rehiring foreman at the highway department at his previous wage of $19.77 an hour. Don said that number nine there are the first 6 months he will be on a probation period and it will be 50 cents less per hour. Couple comments, or I guess looking back on here, this number seven, I think Don came to us with that one. There are some of these smaller amounts, several $25 ones that some of those people are just kind of not cashing the checks, I guess, and they're right. Just sitting out there. And some of this is for bookwork more than anything. Then we don't have that check just hanging out there 6 months or a year, because some of those, if they do go so long, then they're supposed to be turned over to the state, and we are facing that on some of those. So if some of the smaller amounts, if some of those, if we can go to a direct deposit with, this isn't saying that all of them will.
Any reimbursements is eligible for to an employee. There's a legislative bill that was passed in 2011 that allows that not only salaries can be direct deposited, but any reimbursable to any employee. So that's why I was proposing just to be able to direct deposit those instead of cutting the checks.
To any employee,
to
yes.
To any employee.
Yes, mm-hmm. To any employee. This isn't our claims or our checks or whatever going on, but this is to reimbursable expenses to any employee. Because of that, we would all have on record already their
we have
deposit.
All their direct deposit yeah. information.
So instead of some of those sitting out there, that's going on there. Any more questions or Gary?
Myron, I just I don't want to pull anything off. Just wanted to comment on the fact that Lisa Wiegand, Terry Acton, and David Zimmerman have all offered to put their name back out there for another term on P&Z. They do a great job and appreciate all their time and effort, and they do put a lot of time in. So
yes, they do put a lot of time in and stuff. So you bet. Thank you. I'll just mention one claim a little bit that did come through. We did have Gage County petty cash that came through from inheritance for this land purchase of the property next to the county barn down there. That did come through, and I forgot to write the amount down. It was $2,000-something.
What, $700?
I don't have that dollar amount. I apologize for that.
$751, maybe. Let me see
that
here.
That is what we went in executive session last meeting for, and then after that we came out and decided to this was a tax.
$2,374.18.
Okay, yeah. It was a tax correction slip, and it's a property right across from the office down at the county barn that has been in not good shape at all, that building has. We've been actively, I guess, watching that property, and now they contacted Roger, and it came about that we were able to purchase that on tax correction slip, and the county has done so. Any other comments? If not, I need a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Move to approve the agenda.
Second.
Motion to approve by Lytle, second by Jurgens. Vote. 6-0. Committee reports, building and grounds, winter lights, or what? Oh, comments from the public. Sorry. Oh, comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Any comments from public or anything? Or if not, we'll move on to maybe later, too, or whatever. Committee reports, building and grounds, winter lights.
Nothing unusual other than we've had our snow removal people very busy, and, of course, Dave is right on top of it. He does a fantastic job. And inside the courthouse, too, nothing really unusual. He always has a few things that he takes care of, but nothing that requires our approval. So Dave, as usual, is staying on top of the courthouse.
Good. Equalization?
Nothing more.
Finance, insurance?
On insurance, I just got an email from Amber, and I don't know whether the committee wants to meet on this or just wants me to meet with her. She wants to talk about what's coming down for reimbursements and some tracking that we're going to have to do of the number of employees that have received our insurance, been offered our insurance, the number of dependents, and that because we're all going to have to report this to the government. And this reporting has to do with all in 2015, and we're going to have to report this in 2016. So I told her I would mention it, but that's right now where we're at.
Insurance, Bellinger Fires. That's who I have.
Big
on
dog,
it.
Right?
So,
missing.
So probably should try and set up a meeting with her sometime then, or are you able to handle? I don't know.
Well, that's what it's up to you guys. What it is going to be reporting that I'm going to have to do. So, you know, that's how she wanted to know how you wanted to do it. So it's up to you, but we will have to start reporting to the government. Who gets our insurance and
you want to meet
Social Security
with the committee?
And
you want to meet, or do you think
fine.
Do you think we should?
I think it would probably there's other things that we could touch on too. So I think if we wanted to meet as a committee, it would be good. Not only just that.
Just let Matt know, and so we.
Okay.
He's
all right,
the new
I'll
chairman.
Proceed with setting up an appointment with her then.
Okay.
Okay.
Human resource.
Nothing.
Nothing. Law enforcement.
had a short committee meeting on Monday. Really don't have anything to report unless Tim or Gus have anything they want to state as far as the weather or anything for today. But I know Tim seemed to think he needed to text me last night about it. I really didn't care about the snow.
Yeah.
I'm trying to avoid it and go to sleep, and he's telling me it's going to snow tomorrow.
What time did you go to bed?
I was up the whole night. The night before loading train, so I go to bed as soon as I can lay down.
Road and bridge.
Galen discussed that the trucks and graders were out early Sunday for the snow removal and probably be out again later today when the snow starts to accumulate. The grading crew has been doing some riprap work. The asphalt crew has been doing some crack sealing. Hickory Road, there was a landowner's letter sent out regarding right-of-way. The final payment of $95,279.94 for South 66 Road was in the general agenda this time. A discussion on a road in Hanover Township that was vacated in 2011, and there's a question of a 40-foot strip that was purchased by the county in the 20s and in regards to what to do with that. As was mentioned earlier, the bridge foreman was rehired, and an individual approached the county if we'd be interested in property next to the Wymore County barn, of which we took no action. And we have nothing back on the CAT motor grader that CAT is working on, and CAT is also assisting on tracking of the engine oil in the Philly grader. Galen and Bob Davis were going to be attending a LTAP meeting regarding tack oil in Lincoln today, but that was canceled. And we also reviewed the 1- and 6-year plan, which Galen will be reviewing again here with the whole board.
The $95,000 that was paid to Warner Construction, they did that South 66 Mile, and that was the final payment on that. We had withheld that earlier, and because of that's a concrete asphalt road and everything, there was no holdback or whatever.
Well, that's one company. They did an excellent job. They were in and out of there, and and that's the way it should be. But that's all I'm going to say about that.
But there is, Terry, I'll say this too, though. There is, they did do put, have to put down a bond when they bid
right.
on this.
Yes.
So the county
sure.
still does have that bond yet.
Sure.
So if something would show up in the next year or something, there was a performance bond posted for that.
Sure. And then just briefly to touch on the 1 and 6, you know, basically Galen has 29 miles of armor coating on the one-year plan, 36 miles of paint striping on the one-year plan, and 11 projects for 2015 were added to the six-year plan. So also on that plan, there was a replacement of 24 bridges and culverts for this year coming up again. So we're continuing to be aggressive, replacing those old bridges, a lot of replacement. I mean, there's been a huge improvement because of Galen's leadership down there in the county structures out there, improvement. So he's done a good job. I want to comment on that. So.
Yep, and we have that on the agenda later for discussion on that 1 and 6 year plan. And then next meeting, we will have a public hearing on the 18th. We'll have a public hearing at 9:30 probably, or have you set a time?
18th, yeah, 9:30.
9:30, and then we also will be having approval on that day, so because that needs to be in by the end of September to the state. So,
one final comment. Last week I said how lucky we are. We had such a nice winter so far, and now all of a sudden this has all backfired on us. So his crews have been busy. I know over the weekend I was up there a couple times, doing the very best they could. So sometimes people have to be a little patient when you got especially wind blowing like that. But they do a good job throughout the county. So.
Yeah, Terry last Thursday mentioned on the radio about how nice.
Yeah.
If we have Terry.
Yeah, I said it was just great. Boy, we're so lucky.
Yeah. And so we've been real fortunate this winter so far.
Yeah.
We're thankful for that and stuff. But then it's also Nebraska, and we have this type of weather and everything. So 9 o'clock, we were going to have a Veterans Honor. But we're just a couple minutes early, and we don't have Angie Bruner here either, so. And she's going to talk about her, but that'll be 9:15. And when we're not going to talk about
9:15, actually.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about the wind farm. We'll just wait a minute or two here.
Is your change to the standing rules?
Standing rules. We could go over that.
Good.
We got a couple minutes, even if we're a minute. Standing rules for Gage County Board of Supervisors. I think everybody was given a copy. Looking at it, the one thing we do need to change, very top up there, it says 2/3 of all supervisors elected in the county shall constitute a quorum, and it says 5 members. I think now that is
four
members. We'll change that from 5 to 4 because of the action by the legislature last year. So, then you had a question, number 2 there.
On rule number 2, the chairperson at the meeting held on the second Wednesday of each new year will take the chair at the time to which the board stands adjourned. I think that kind of, I'm not sure if it falls as a second Wednesday.
No, it's a certain time
after.
Well,
when you get sworn in, and then that falls. So
first Thursday after.
Well, the first Thursday after the first Tuesday is a swear-in, but then we just have our normal meeting. Do we need to adjust anything on that rule to follow that? This time it was the second one, but we've had it where we've had it earlier with the chairperson.
Well, you can just
seated.
put it to the first official meeting following the swearing-in of the new board.
Their
and you don't have to worry about what day it is.
Yeah, we could do that. The meeting held, but the first meeting held.
But this is for reorganization every year. It's not just after an election year. You don't have
to
swear in every
true.
Year.
Well, that's true. Okay, so
this
is outside of election year, then you're right. I'm thinking election year because it's not always.
It's not a 4-year term. All right.
You'll have every other year won't be.
Yeah, that's true. It would be outside of the election year as well, so because you do elect a new chairperson. So You can leave it. I was kind of confused because I thought this didn't make sense. I mean, I'm thinking election and reorganization.
Any other discussion or comments or changes to the standing rules?
I don't understand it.
If not, I guess we should have had a motion to approve them first. Sorry. We need a motion to approve the standing rules.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Thiemann to approve the standing rules as presented.
With the revision of down to four members as
with
a quorum.
Change. With the quorum changed from five members to four members. Yes. Is that fine with your second, Eric? Great. Any more discussion? Vote to approve. Motion passed 6-0. Okay, 901. We have on the agenda Veterans Honor, Bill.
Good morning. The Veterans Honor this morning is for Robert Winslow. Robert wasn't able to make it. His niece called and said he's ill and wouldn't be able to make it in. And I guess I'll go ahead and tell what his service was. Robert joined the United States Navy 19 days after his 18th birthday, November 29, 1939, and he served until January 5th of 1946, serving a total of 6 years, 1 day, or 6 years, 1 month, and 7 days. He was first assigned to the USS Helm and was in Pearl Harbor. Actually, they were the only ship underway at the time of the attack. They were just leaving the harbor at 7:30, and the attack took place at 7:46. And they were bombed twice, missed, and they also ran into a mini submarine and fired at it also. But it's interesting reading and talking to him about how the all the ammunition was stored in the ship's hold down below, and the guns were covered with grease. You know, and they had to clean all them before they could start firing. It took like probably 20 minutes before they could actually start firing at the planes coming over. But he was awarded the Asiatic Pacific Service Medal with four battle stars, the American Area Victory Medal, and the American Defense Medal with one bronze star. And again, Robert couldn't make it today. His niece, I don't think she made it today.
She called and said she couldn't make it
either. Oh, she did call? Okay. So maybe sometime we need to get somebody down there and present Robert with his plaque. But she was pretty adamant that he was going to be sick for a few days. So, and I know John and I talked about sometime getting together with these guys that couldn't make it and presenting it to them where they're at. So.
Yes, because we had one last time, too, that was sick and still is or whatever.
Yes.
And we talked about that we'd still like to honor them here, like at this meeting or whatever meeting they're at. And if family member would be great, but otherwise we'll make some arrangement to get it to them. We'll get in contact with you and make sure we get this award to them because somebody like Mr. Winslow there, that's
you bet.
That's quite a story to be on that
yes,
ship in the Pearl Harbor and leaving.
He's our last Pearl Harbor survivor that we have in the county that we know of.
The last one that we know of
yeah.
in the county. Wow. Good stuff. We appreciate very much what they've done and
absolutely.
To honor them. And yes, we're losing some of these proud veterans and stuff. And we greatly appreciate what they've done for us and sure like to honor them. So thank you, Phil. We appreciate what you're doing and getting us this information and like those stories there about them. That's...
Yeah, sometimes they don't like to talk, so.
Yeah, they have.
All right. Thank you.
Kind of quiet. Thank you, Phil.
Angie's here.
Angie? Well, we have it at 9:15, I guess, as long as anybody... Well, as long as everybody else is here for your grant, too, that's showing up. Dennis, is going to be the one that's going to talk, or... Yeah.
I was just trying to get him on earlier, so he put a time on it.
Yep.
That's one time in pieces.
Well, I mean, we have that as time event. Can we go ahead and do that, even though it's
okay.
Timed event 9:15, I guess.
can't vote on it.
Yeah.
I mean, since somebody, you'd have to leave it open at 9:15.
We can go ahead and do it if we want to, but then at 9:15, we'll just mention again if somebody's here and would like to. But
we
need to vote on it at 9:15.
We have a grant approval after that, so you can vote on that at 9:15.
Yeah, I'm fine with going ahead. Angie, if you want to come up and talk about it. Dennis?
Oh, I think we got one of these.
Yes, I am.
Good morning. Angie Brunick, H. County Tourism. At our last Tourism Advisory Committee, the group voted to recommend to the Board of Supervisors to approve funding for the Visitor Improvement Fund grant request on behalf of the Hannibal Diamond Improvement Project. They have this listed as their phase two. The total amount requested that the board recommended supporting the whole, or the advisory committee recommended supporting them in this full amount was $16,747. And since Dennis is here, I will let him tell you about the project because he's more closely intimate with it and he'll do a much finer job than I can.
Well, good morning. I'm Dennis Dodge. I wear three hats, YRI president, Beatrice School softball president, and today is snow hat. So, our softball groups have been working for a bunch of years and trying to improve the diamonds out of Hannibal, and we got two of the diamonds fixed up of the hill with some home run fences and things like that with the last grant about 2 years ago. And this next phase, the main thing is the city was lucky with that good weather, and they got the lights in, so the lights are in and going. That was great. They missed the snow. The main thing was that we wanted to replace the scoreboards, and there's a listing of the costs on the second page there. Scoreboards is one of the main things that we definitely wanted to do, and then we need to put some agri-lime on all the diamonds to keep the playability of them so we can have our tournaments here. And then, of course, we've got some fencing for batting cage and pitching warming areas, along with some improvements on a couple of the backstops that we just had improved. Plus trying to put in some possibly some safety netting over the bleachers on the hill where the diamonds are really close together. So we've got a little bit more. We've got about $17,000 in matching funds with the groups that are listed in the front there. A lot of different groups have donated to help the YRI, the Beatrice School Softball Association, Barnum Memorial, Beatrice Plus Grant, Beatrice and Slow Pitch, Beatrice High School, Southeast Community College, UAAA Softball Association, and some in-kind labor. So if we get this approved, we'll order the school words right away, and hopefully we'll be able to get most of these projects in before we start our tournaments in the end of April.
I notice under recognition, too, you're planning on making a big permanent plaque crediting the Beatrice Gage County Convention and Visitors Bureau, listing the donations and projects funded and locating it on the concession stand. I hope you'll include in there the Gage County Board.
We can certainly do that.
Okay, too often we are eliminated when it comes to those things and just assume that people just assume they know. But
sure.
Please make sure that we have that recognition as the county.
I will make that addition.
And thank you. I do know as a former daughter, having a former daughter that participated in softball out there, thank you, Dennis, for that. But the amount of visitors it does bring in to this county, they have two tournaments that are statewide and more. They're early in April and then a lot of them during the summer. And the amount of, if you're talking about heads and beds, those two tournaments filled up the motels those two weekends and everything. And I know there's more, too, also. So this is something I think will be very...
It's fantastic for our
yeah.
community and for the kids, for yeah. the youth. It's just absolutely fantastic. And yeah. thank you very much, Dennis.
With the improvements from last time, we added some major state tournaments from the UAAA. And so that's an ongoing thing that since our diamonds are better than just about any diamonds in the state because they are playable with this agri-lime. And so they did award a second state tournament this year. So we're just trying to keep that momentum going. It's good to have it down here. So we really the community is big enough to have funds, but small enough that people support each other, and it's a good relationship. So,
thank you. Any more questions or comments? Thank you, Mike.
So,
we need to wait on until 9:15 to vote, since it was public at the time. And in case somebody else does show up, Angie, let us know if somebody does. No.
I'm not expecting anybody else. But
you're not, because of the weather? No. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I don't see Jane here. Let's go ahead and do the one. And
what? Jane won't be coming either.
Jane won't be coming either. Or public health, which is very understandable. 1 and 6 year plan, Galen.
Your plan, we have a total of 42 projects, and I'll just go down and kind of give a brief summary of the projects. We discussed them all individually at Monday's Road and Bridge meeting. There's two federal aid bridge projects. There's a Hickory Road, there's 4 miles, and it includes grading, replacing structures, and paving. We have 16 small timber bridge projects that we're replacing with the culverts. We have one bridge project going to be replaced with a box culvert. We have one bridge replacement that is going to be replaced with a larger bridge. We have 6 bad culverts that are going to be replaced with new culverts. We have 29 miles of armor coating, and we have 36 miles of blacktop paint striping. And then we also have approximately 28 miles of shouldering that we have to do yet from last year's asphalt overlay miles. And that is just kind of a brief summary of everything on the one-year plan. If you have any questions, I can gladly answer.
Galen, approximately cost on a few of these things. I mean, I'm talking about the paint striping. If I remember right, that was approximately $1,000 a mile last year to do that.
Yes.
In there someplace.
Yes.
And as far as the armor coating, do you remember what approximate cost was on those
approximate
miles?
Cost was $12,000 a mile.
$12,000 a mile?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, once again, as I've stated probably the last few years, this is fairly aggressive. We have a lot of work to be done, a lot of finish-up work from last year, as well as projects going this year. The biggest thing that I see on this list is the Hickory Road project, and as well as the, I think, coming up, and I don't know exactly when that's going to be led. It would be that Adams Northwest or bridge project up there in the northeast on the Nemaha River. When would that be let? Do you remember, do you have any idea yet? Or
the last information I got was hopefully sometime this fall it will be let.
Okay.
On that, according to the state, but they couldn't give me a date.
We've been talking about this Hickory Road. I think we'll finally this year we'll see some movement on that. So that's the biggest thing to me coming up this year would be that Hickory Road, if we can get started a good start. We have the problem with this one is we have to work in conjunction with the businesses out at Hoyg because of the yearly traffic that they develop. So we're working with them closely and see what we can get accomplished.
Yeah, and last year on armor coating too, we did a fair amount of armor coating. You know, we budgeted so much on that, and then we also did so much because we had some excess funds in that bond overlay project that we were able to armor coat more. And I think, you know, we accomplished a lot. We know there's more when we have the amount of roads we have, and we're blessed in a way. And then it's also there's cost with upkeep. So, and that's that takes funds to do this too all the time and stuff. And some of these will be still contingent kind of on the funding and all of that, but as we go through the year, that's discussions we'll have then and stuff. So, but these, as I said earlier, too, I'm just like Terry, this is pretty aggressive. This is quite a bit that hope to get done, and I'm glad you've come forward with all of these, though. I mean, I'd hate to see at the end of the year Galen sit down there and go, we didn't have enough stuff on the 1 and 6 year plan, which I don't ever see that happening.
Well, I think we are very blessed that we have a wonderful manager in our highway department. Yes. And his staff, and I want to compliment this board because we've managed our dollars appropriately, so we're able to do some of these things that others aren't. And it's because of management of the taxpayers' dollars and of our inheritance fund. And so I'm very happy that we can move forward with these while we can afford it. I want to compliment all of you.
And we will approve this at the next meeting, the one-year plan. We'll go over, hopefully you'll touch just a few of the six-year plan. I think we added one or two, or we had 11 projects on the 11 projects on the six-year plan. Those are something that just right now we're not looking at doing in the one-year plan, but that we're aware of out there that in the future need some attention or whatever. The main ones are, on the one-year plan that are listed.
On the six-year plan, there is 11 projects. Six of those projects are going to be replacing small bridges with culverts. They still have to be sized. There's two grading and structure replacement projects on there. There's also three bridge replacement projects that'll, they're big enough bridges, they'll probably have to be replaced with bridges. So that's what's on the 6 year.
Any more comments or questions? Or Eric, if you're new,
All these bridges, what are the bridges and the culverts? Is that, there's no load restriction on any of those then? The ones that
not on the culverts, no.
But the bridges, do those go back in with the load restriction, or do we put those up high enough?
They'll be put up high enough. There is no posting requirement on the replacement structures.
On item 15 here, just out of curiosity, on the 1 year plan, it's the it's a 16 foot wide, 24 foot long bridge getting replaced with a 31 foot slab bridge. What's, just for my own curiosity, what's a slab bridge?
It's actually, the deck is actually precast slab sections. They're these here would be 34 or 31 foot long, and they're actually 34 inches wide, and you sit them on individually, and then you take and you weld them all together, so it's one deck, and then they just have little grout lines that you grout in, and you have a deck system on there. They're quick to do. You can do them in cold weather because you don't have to worry about pouring concrete other than your grout, and you can just pick out a nice warm sunny day for the grout, and you got your deck system on.
Because we did one last year, and then we put out for bids for that. So the companies, they bid for the measurement, whatever specifications they bid for that, and that's how we approved it. And then our crew installed that and everything, did the pilings and installing. But we also did the steel for the bid for the steel for that slab deck bridge too. So
I'd like to see that. That sounds pretty slick.
It is, and the deck slabs are a foot thick.
Are most of the small bridges made that way with the precast slabs?
The ones that we've been building have been built in the last several years have been precast deck slab bridges, yes. We have built some girder ones, but the deck slabs are a lot quicker, seem to be cost effective, so that's what we've been using.
I think it was around $110,000 or whatever to do the last one last year. I think between the steel and that, it's not including our time, between the steel and the cement, it was a little over $100,000. Was that right?
Yeah, and that's for removal and of the other one and all the total hours that the bridge crew is down there.
Well, that was with that, too. But I mean, that's kind of a rough cost of those, so that's not something you're going to do 10 of those a year or something. You know,
that one there was a 31 foot main span and had two 21 foot. A jump span on each end, 21 foot long, so it's a 73 foot long bridge.
Okay, any more discussion on it? Otherwise, we will have the public hearing on the 18th, and we sure encourage people to feel free to come and visit with us at the public hearing on the 1 and 6 year plan. So, thank you, Galen. It's past 9:15, so we'll jump back and we will ask for approval for the visitors improvement grant for Hannibal Park, an amount of $16,747.
I would move to approve.
Second.
We have a motion by Byers, second by Hill.
See if anybody else is here.
Okay, yeah. Before we vote, is anybody else here like to comment on that, just in case, since we jumped ahead there a little bit? So, any more comment or discussion? If not, vote. 6-0 in favor. Thank you, Angie and Dennis.
Thanks for all you do, Angie.
On here, discuss wind farm zoning regulations. Put this on here. I'll start back, I guess, a little bit at the beginning. We had the wind farm that went down a couple, 3 years ago here in Southern Gage County, Dillardale, in that area, and then Jefferson County. And after that, there was some discussion on the board where our setbacks, where we felt they should be, you know, or should we address them? We had the discussion several times, but we've never done anything or whatever. Then last September, Volkswind did come and file a permit with our zoning department for a possible wind farm here in northern Gage County, and they also did that in Lancaster County and southern Lancaster County. They did put that permit on hold or withhold it. It depends on who you talk to. Then in November, and what brought it about again here for discussion was last week they did have a Center for Rural Affairs held a forum up in Cortland, a wind farm forum where they had a panel there for discussion, and there was quite a bit of attendance there. But Volkswind had filed there in Lancaster County with their zoning board here on the 4th, which would have been today, to have a hearing on changing some of their setbacks. And Volkswind did file that application. Well, then last Friday, Volkswind pulled that application, so they did not have that today for their changes on that. Because of some of this going on, and then last Thursday, I met with Nancy, our zoning administrator, Lisa, chairman of the zoning board, and met upstairs with Amanda Spracklin-Hogan in her office, who does our attorney work for the zoning. Met with the four of us met and had a discussion about could we as a county, not knowing what the permit was there, could we have a discussion, could we go through the process to try and reassess or readdress some of our zoning regulations on wind farms. And Amanda made the comment that our zoning regulations, with the timetables in there, that wind farm is no longer, Volkswind wind farm is no longer an active permit in Gage County because of the time, some of the dates and some of the so long we have in our regulations, right?
Yeah. Once you're granted, then you have a certain amount of time you have to complete the project.
Complete or have movement on that project. Nothing's been done, so that is no longer considered an active permit. So, knowing that, we can, as a board, as a zoning board, we can go ahead and start the process if we would like to readdress or look at our zoning regulations as far as setbacks on the wind farm. There is a process you need to go through. It's stipulated in our zoning. It doesn't say we have to have an informational meeting. A discussion at our meeting up there the other day was it would be great to have an informational meeting, but we as a board need to request. We don't have to make a formal request, but we do need to request that the zoning board start the process of readdressing or looking at our setbacks on the wind farm regulations. They were approved. Our wind farm regulations were approved in 2010. Our zoning regulations were approved back in the 90s, maybe 97 or 98. I can't remember that date for sure. But our wind farm regulations were added in 2010. Lisa said they would like, the zoning board would like direction from this board. Is there enough interest from this board to go ahead and start that process? In that process, then, if we have an informational meeting, it would probably be great. But the zoning board would need to hold the public hearing. They would need to determine how much information do they need to go out and get. Do they need to have a study done again? In 2010, there was a study done by a guy in Lincoln. I can't remember. I had the name down. I don't have that. They did do a study, and he came up with basically the proposals of what a lot of the other wind farms have.
Hannah Keelan
did that. And based on those, that's how they did it. The zoning board would need to have a public hearing. They would need to approve that or forward that on or whatever. And then the county board would also have to have a public hearing. Amanda estimated that would take probably 6 to 8 months to do all of this. So, but the zoning board is looking for direction from the board then. So that's why we're going to have a discussion.
Yeah. Myron, one comment I'd just like to make. What is the setback now from
a non-participating dwelling, our setback is 1,250 feet here in Gage County.
Okay, the only thing I'd like to say is have somebody go within 1,250 feet of a wind turbine and say if you'd like to have a house located right there. Because it could possibly happen the way the records are set up or the rules are set up now. And you just have to go 1,250 feet more than turbines. And you wouldn't like it, I guarantee it. That's all I got to say.
Well, a lot of our discussion was after the one that went in before, then we had discussion should from a non-participating dwelling,
right,
should that be a half mile? I did talk with, I'm looking for his name here now, Lonnie from Hannah Keelan, who did our study before. I did talk with him then on Friday. And he just helped Jefferson County implement theirs here a couple years ago. I'll make this comment. As far as he was aware, he said, he's not saying there aren't some out there. As far as he was aware, he wasn't aware of anything at a non-participating dwelling being more than a quarter of a mile. Most of them are that 250 feet or a quarter of a mile, he said. But he said that don't mean there aren't some out there, and that don't mean you can't go that way or whatever. So I think some of our others, we also have, you know, a participating dwelling has to be at least 1.5 times from the from 1.5 times the height of that tower that has any dwelling has to be that from it. Then there are some guidelines in there also as far as a non-participating property line, how far it has to be from that and stuff. But I think the one that we really had a lot of discussion was on a non-participating dwelling.
And that's correct. If you were participating in this project and you were getting paid, I'm still trying to figure out $10,000 a year, you could put up with a lot of noise.
So, but my comment to Lisa was that I felt there was enough interest from the board, but that we would set it up here to have discussion at this meeting to see if, you know, if my comment is, unless there is I get feedback that no, we don't want to do it, I think it's something we should pursue. Not saying we will change it to a half mile, but look into reassessing that and with a possibility of changing our non-participating dwelling setback to a half mile. Any more? I'm open. I'm looking for conversation. No.
I'm like Terry. Geez, you can be a long ways back, and it might seem like a long ways until you have that tower up in the air, and then it seems like it's right in the backyard. So if you're getting paid for it, The tolerance factor goes up in a hurry.
Lisa was going to try and be here, but they, because of the other storm, they moved some things at home. They had a loadout thing coming, and they moved that to today, so she couldn't be here. Lisa is also she's really our guru on this. She's very knowledgeable because she also did make the comment. There are things in our zoning that discuss something about to do it just to do it. She's not sure that's allowable. You need to also evaluate the other aspect of it. And she kept using the word adversarial to that dwelling. And she kept using that word. That's listed several times in our zoning regulations. You know, it's not just, I don't want to live that close. That's not a good reason why you would go in and change this or whatever. I mean, there's certain things.
Adversarial sounds like a law school thing to me.
Yeah.
And again, you need to look at the flip side of this, is the money that's come in
to
this county, to your taxpayers. And, yeah, I mean, I like this, but you could make it, it's got to be a quarter mile or a half mile unless some other arrangement's made, then it can be a quarter mile.
Yeah. Right.
You're talking about the coin in my pocket, it goes away.
Right.
And don't think the companies don't know that,
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
They try and get along with people, at least most of the ones we've dealt with. And it... You know, we had the one guy, and you know, and he understood
mm-hmm.
because you'd done the public hearings, and everybody had a chance to say something. So,
Well, I think we should go ahead with discussion.
Yeah. It'd be good to take another look at it now that we're a little bit more familiar with the process and how it affects people. And
I agree with that. I think it's something that we've been into it for a couple of years now. It is something that needs to be revisited. But I also agree with Roger that if you do extend it to a half mile, I'd like to see it that it's something that the homeowner can or landowner can write it off and it can come back to that 1,250. That way they have the ability to work with the company that wants to come in. Right.
And part of this a little bit, Matt and I did meet last Thursday with a group up here in the northern end of the county because of the Volkswind project that, you know, has been proposed. And their concern is there's our county definitely has more population up on that end than down here by Diller or whatever, you know. And it brought more into effect up here, I guess, which you could say, too, you know. So that's there's a group up there very actively opposing it in the northern end. Now, that's not why we're bringing this up. We did have this discussion a long time ago already, and we'll visit with Lisa and see if we can get the process going to start maybe reevaluating or reassessing our zoning regulations. So, what else do we have left? Oh, 2015 board committee and appointments. I think everybody should have a copy of that.
1:30, and we do have the bid openings at 9:30.
Oh, no, let's go back to that. Let's go back to the bid openings. Thank you, Gary. We do have a 9:30 agenda item, close, accept, reject, or award fuel bids. I'll entertain a motion to close fuel bids.
Move to close.
Close, waiting on a second.
Second.
Okay. Second. Motion to close, reject, or accept fuel bids by John Hill, second by Lytle. Vote 6-0. No. We have one.
One.
Okay, I guess we just have one bid today. The bid is from Sapp Brothers Petroleum. The way this was done, I think we figured 3/4 of the usage for the year. Galen, is that correct? You remember? Okay, so we put out a contract for 60,000 gallons of diesel fuel, number 2 premium. The guaranteed price is $1.97. Put out a bid for 36,000 gallons of unleaded gasoline. Now I better go back on the bid with the diesel fuel. I'll go back with fuel additive. No state or federal tax included on this diesel fuel. So we've got $1.97 on the unleaded gasoline. State tax, but no federal tax. $2.12.9. $2.12.9. The total estimated would be for the 60 gallon of diesel fuel, $118,200, and for the 36,000 gallons of gasoline, $76,644. So, with that being said, shall we hand these to Galen, or this bid to Galen now and act on it later in the board meeting?
Well, we want to act on it today just because we had a discussion Monday already at committee meetings because of the fact that these proposals are based on, you know, today and in 2 weeks, this what I think we've seen in the last 4 days again what can happen to the fuel, that we do need to act on that today here and stuff. So it's just whether or not you want to take a 5-minute recess and you, the committee and Galen, review that, or?
Well, it's up to you, boss, whatever you want us to do.
Since there's only one, you know, as long as they meet the bidding specifications, which we can review those later and determine, I guess.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, since there was only one, we could we don't need a proposal to pick this one or that one. We just go ahead and accept the bid. Unless somebody else would like to have it reviewed. But Galen, is that all right? Is it acceptable?
Myron, I make a motion we accept the bid from Sapp Brothers Petroleum in the total amount of, I didn't write it down.
$118,200 on the diesel and $76,644 on the unleaded.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Second.
Motion by Jergen, second by Hill, to accept Sapp Brothers' bid on the fuel and with the specifications. And Galen will review them just in case there's something that needs to be discussed later or something. But any more discussion?
Do we want to discuss accepting the diesel part of the bid and rebidding the gas? Of course, where you only got one group or one company bidding on it, I don't know if that's a good thing to do. But, I mean, if you look at the cost of gas right now as opposed to what it was when they bid that, obviously it's quite a bit cheaper at this point, because if you figure 212 plus 18 cents, that's actually a cost of 230. So, I mean,
That included the 18 cents.
On the gas, the federal tax wasn't included, I believe.
Your price at the pump includes the 18 cents that isn't included in that bid.
Right.
Which would actually, you know, apples to apples to the price on the sign is $230 currently. I just want to throw that out there as something that, you know, diesel fuel hasn't, you know, without any.
I think probably what they're looking at, they're guaranteed the price on these many gallons. You know, more than likely in July, you're going to see an elevation in price. And I know what they're doing. They have that price set for the year probably. So they have to protect themselves someplace. So I realize it's higher than the pump price now, but it's the long-term thing I guess we have to look at.
Right, and that is the way it works. As you go out into the farther months, the price does vary, and you buy that in and average it out. That is totally correct.
Galen, what did our bid proposal say as far as time of delivery on this? How many months was it for? 12?
Through day of award through, I believe it's 1st November, 30th November.
Sometime at 30th November or something. So it's
usage of the 60,000 gallons and or the. The quantity that was bid.
Or the quantity, or it all needed to be used by the end of November, I believe, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
I still say, I see what Gary's saying, but I still say we should go ahead and award the price that we have today.
We don't have anybody else that's shown interest. And, you know, here we have this bid from Sapp Brothers, and that's it. And what's going to happen a month from now or 2 months from now? It can always change, but I think we should move ahead.
It does lock it in, and traditionally gasoline goes up as soon as the summer blend comes into play. How much would you anticipate that being?
I don't know. Generally, it goes up during the summer. I will say this. This is probably roughly about a dollar cheaper than what we would have paid last year most of the time.
Dollar and a quarter, to be exact.
Dollar and a quarter? Oh, okay.
from the cheapest contract point of last year on diesel fuel.
On diesel fuel, it's a dollar and a quarter cheaper than what we could have contracted possibly last year. You know, and last year, even on the gas, I know a lot of times when the bills came through, you know, we were paying about $3 for gas a lot of times last year and stuff. So what we're really looking at here is trying to lock in a price for so many thousand gallons here over this next 10-12 months so that we can lock in a cost savings for the county. That's what we're really looking at here, I guess. So, and it not only affects our highway department, that's our major user, but it also affects our sheriff's fleet, and they do use a fair amount of that in this bid too. That's part of this bid that went out. It's the whole county's usage.
Right,
stuff,
yeah, it's so. The sheriff's. It's a huge portion of this. Yeah. I'm not sure that it's not more than what the highway department is using, but when we look at those bills coming through for the sheriff's department, they're big.
And I agree with Terry. I think it is. I think we do want to go ahead and accept all of it. But I thought it was a discussion that we should have.
Yeah, very valid point.
Yep. The only one concern that I do have, as I've stated in the past, is with the diesel fuel and whether or not we're actually getting premium diesel fuel and what premium qualifications we're getting. So yep. That's my only concern.
Is there a way to check that, Gary?
You can send your fuel off. You can sample it and send it off to an independent lab, and they will give you test results to tell you whether or not something qualifies for whatever you want to look for. So there is a way. Yes.
Is that something we should include in that as a stipulation that we are asking for premium fuel, not straight number two?
That was included, wasn't it?
There was guidelines in there. What
that was included.
Minimum they had to meet.
Yeah.
Okay. There was that in the bid proposal.
Yeah. So we could easily test for that then if we gave them a minimum.
And that I think that would fall more on the responsibility of our department to test it once it comes in to make sure it's meeting something that we're requiring or that we want, I guess, too. You know, so that would probably fall. I know a lot of the times when they change oil, they pull an oil sample, and they are testing the oil on all of a lot of our machines and vehicles. So, and that's maybe something every now and then it wouldn't hurt to do is to just pull a fuel sample and test a fuel sample, Galen. I think as we go through the year, I think that'd be a great idea. So,
with the importance of having clean fuels and clean lubricants when you're running these pieces of equipment that cost us hundreds of thousands of dollars, I think that's a good idea. Yeah. And it helps efficiency too, but I think that would be a wise thing to do.
Yeah. Especially with the newer motors, engines or whatever, and then some of the emission things they put on there with the depth and all that other stuff, when you start reading some of the articles and stuff, that's so important anymore, and that little bit of not quality fuel or not the right fuel can really cost. I mean, it's some of the articles they put out are very kind of scary almost.
Now, you're talking about diesel fuel here then
right.
only, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
When would you do that? Would you just pull a sample on each transport then? Or I mean, I suppose it's tough to tell Galen we want you to sample fuel but not say when. Would that be, do you sample fuel now?
No.
I mean, I don't know when you would sample, if you just sample every transport or?
I don't know if I'd do that. I would just say randomly.
Yeah,
so,
just randomly.
You know, I mean, to say that you got to do this on every load coming in, I think that would put you've got enough fires to put out now. So, but I mean, randomly, you know, I think I don't have a problem with it.
I think it wouldn't hurt every now and then just to do it, just to. To see where it's at or what if, you know, and then maybe to visit even with Cat or somebody with some of these newer engines, if that's the good enough, not good enough, if that meets what they are specifying, because some of these equipment they are specifying that you need to have a certain level of fuel in there, you know, and stuff. So that'd be a good idea. So any more discussion on whether we have a motion on the table to approve the bids? Vote 6-0 in favor. Now back to the committees. Hopefully everybody had the list. I think everybody's had a chance to review it. I'll just make this comment that these committees, the first few years we were on the board, that's we met as these committees when we had our committee meetings upstairs in the room since we've changed to this here in the last year where we have our committee meetings here now on Monday morning in this boardroom and they are advertised as open committee meetings or whatever, these don't have the importance they probably did quite a year ago, or I shouldn't say importance, they don't have the need or you're not the only ones there. Now we're all able to be at all the committee meetings. So, but there will be times throughout the year where we will request a certain committee to do something or whatever, and that's when we need these committees, I feel. So,
Myron, with that being said, though, it still goes back to the chairman of these committees. He's the one that's going to run. He's the one that's going to fall back on if something goes wrong. You know, it's not, can't point the finger at anybody else. You were the guys in charge here. You were the one. So it's still, the chairmanship is important on all these committees.
And they do, the chairmanship runs the committee meeting when we're having that portion of it here. The only thing I did add on here was we talked about last year having a jail committee to look into is it meeting our needs over there and so on or whatever. I did put that on here just so we have that listed on here, who is on that committee, because that's, we set that up last year and stuff, so that's just added on here. Otherwise, any more discussion?
Aaron, one thing that I thought of, we had discussed some last year, was the Veterans Affairs, the VA committee, and we had talked about having somebody listed as a representative from the county board to sit in with them on their meetings and to kind of be the connecting point there. I think we've overlooked that, and I'd forgotten about it until the other day, and I don't remember why all of a sudden I remembered it. But and I, you know, if everybody doesn't mind, I would volunteer to take that position if you want to add it.
Let's add that right down at the bottom here. On the bottom, these kind of appointments then. The veterans.
So what, VA committee, put it that way.
Yeah, VA committee. Or,
yeah, whatever. What's the actual name of the committee, though, Don?
Veteran Service.
Veteran Service, thank you. Yeah.
Good.
Veteran
good.
Service Representative, or whatever, or however you want to call it.
Veteran
Service Committee.
Okay.
Oh, good. I think that's great to have on there, too. Any more input, discussion? Do we need a motion to approve those?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Lyle, second by Tiemann. Discussion? Vote? 6-0 in favor. What else do we have left on that?
I think you're done. Unless you have any other.
I do have
Highland Township. I don't know if somebody wants to, from the board, wants to visit with maybe Ed. Individuals that were elected to the township board, two of them, one called and the other one sent a letter. The other one said he wouldn't send a letter to decline. They were very, very adamant and very upset that they even got elected, but that's what happens on township boards, that they get written in, whether it's one vote or two votes, they are the member. So, in this case, the statutes on a township board, if there's one member missing, the two that are seated can point. But since there's two missing, you guys, it falls back to you. So I know Ed has been in a couple of times. He was also reelected. And he, I think, was talking to some other members. But right now, we don't have an active township board. So if one of you guys that want to visit with him and see.
Well, could I make a recommendation on this? That's in Matt's district, I believe.
No, Highland's.
Highland's his.
Yours?
Yeah. That's Cortland. Highland is Cortland.
Okay, I thought.
Highland Township is around Cortland there, a couple miles either side of Cortland and stuff. So
I would say that would be your initiative then, probably, don't you suppose?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
I'll go up and visit with him and see, next committee meeting or whenever, we'll start having reports back and see who or what on all that. So, yeah.
Okay. So if you want
probably has to do with the windmills.
Have to do what?
With the windmills.
Yeah. Some of those people really ought to,
So, no, we will visit with them, and we'll report back to the board. That is, we've been very fortunate in having a lot of really good township boards. I know Highland up there is, because of the bond, or not the bond lid, the lid that is on their budget, they have one of the smaller budgets, and it just, the funding has been a real concern for them always, and they've tried two bond elections to get it to be raised up, and they both failed because there's enough votes in Cortland that they think that's how it's been defeated or whatever. So they've been pretty unhappy with just how things are going up there. But we do need, if there's, as Don said, if one doesn't want to fill that spot, then the other two do, and
we come up with one that has two of them that don't want to. So we'll visit with them and see and report back. Anything else for the good Gary?
All right. Just relating to the 1 and 6 year plan, I just wanted to make a comment that appreciate the effort that the Road and Bridge Committee itself and Galen and Mark Minnelli do on that. You know, I've been on another board, and I've seen other 1 and 6 year plans in work. And a lot of times, you'll see a project that ends in the 6 year projects, and that's more or less the place to go to die. You know, it goes in, but never comes out. And I think we run a very effective 1 and 6 year program. You see things that are in the 1 year plan getting done. They're not just continually on the 1 year program. I appreciate that, and I think that's a very good program. I think we're doing a good job. Not patting myself on the back as much as I am you guys that are actually on Road and Bridge and Galen and Mark. Doing a very, very good job and effective use of the 1 and 6 year program.
Copy those two.
Oh, okay. Don's.
I don't know if anybody wants to attend that, but you can point that out.
Hopefully everybody on the board got a copy of Jefferson County Planning and Zoning as a request for a special use permit on a livestock facility. So there's a public hearing on February 12th at 7 p.m. in the courtroom, just so if somebody wanted to. I don't know exactly what the... It is right across the line just in Jefferson County. So you're aware of it and stuff, but then... so. But there is a public hearing on that over there, so and these are in our zoning regulations too. If it falls so much within the boundaries of our county, so much just outside the boundaries of our county, we have to let certain people know.
I think that falls within a radius of the location. I'll try to attend that, and I'll report back what it is or what they plan.
Okay. Anything else? If not, meeting is adjourned, 9:52. Have a safe